evening is taken from Philippians chapter 1. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. As I said before, the focus for our sermon this evening is going to be on the work of the Spirit, or specifically the necessity of the Spirit when it comes to a life, spiritual life that we experience. We're going to be reading a few verses here from Philippians chapter 1. And we'll start reading at verse 3 and read to verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 is found on page 1164, Philippians 1 at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And it's particularly this bringing to a completion of God's work within us that we are going to be looking at in our text in Galatians in just a moment. But before we read our text from Galatians together, let's turn again in our songbooks to 143. And we're going to sing 143B, so that'll be the second rendition of Psalm 143. 143B, and we'll sing 1, 5, and 6. So the first and the last two stanzas of 143B, standing to sing. Let's now turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, continuing our series through the book of Galatians. We're really in the heart of the matter. We're roughly halfway through this letter Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. And we're going to see that once again, Paul is not going to pull his punch. He's going to be very clear in his rebuke of the Galatians and in his exposing of the false teaching by reasoning together and showing the necessity of the Holy Spirit's work when it comes to our salvation. So Galatians chapter 3, that's found on page 1155. We're going to be reading the first six verses, verses 1 through 6, but our text is particularly verse 2 and 3. So Galatians chapter 3, the first six verses. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's as far as reading. And again, our text is verses 2 and 3. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we ask for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how vital is the Holy Spirit when it comes to your salvation? This evening, we're going to see the centrality of the Spirit in the work of our salvation and our redemption. And Paul is really going to bring to the forefront a very tightly reasoned, rational way of seeing the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we confess who this Holy Spirit is, we confess that he is a person, the third person of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father and the Son and to be worshipped and glorified. The Holy Spirit is called the Lord and giver of life. And every aspect of life that we find not only in creation, but also in redemption is directly linked to the presence and work of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to be focusing specifically on the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to our salvation. Again, Paul is going to be elevating the work of God, specifically the Spirit, but elevating the work of God, showing us that salvation is not something you can earn. It is not something that you can work towards. It is not something that you can merit. It is all of grace. Being saved by grace is not because of something we can do, but because it is a gift of God. And because it is a gift of God, he gets the praise, he gets the glory, we get the comfort, we get the peace. So this evening we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ pours out the Spirit on the church for her complete salvation. A few years ago, there was a teaching which arose, which was found in many Reformed churches. This particular teaching was called Federal Vision. Perhaps you've heard of it. Federal Vision, in its theology, taught that you are in the covenant by grace, but you stay in the covenant by works. That you are in the covenant by grace, but you have to keep yourself in this state of grace by your merit, by your faithfulness. That's Federal Vision. In other words, God begins his work, but you are responsible for keeping yourself in this good relationship with God. Is that true? Is that possible? If salvation is something that God begins and you need to keep it up, if it's your responsibility to remain, will anyone be saved? As you're going to see, this is a very dangerous teaching as it places the responsibility for staying saved in the realm of man's work. But today we're going to see the necessity of the Spirit's work in the entirety of our salvation. In our first point, then, we are going to see the reception of the Holy Spirit. Paul starts our passage in verse 1 and then again in verse 3 by calling the Galatians a bunch of fools. You are fools, Paul says. You are foolish. Now, this word for fool here is someone who is acting in a way contrary to the truth, contrary to logic, contrary to reasoning. They are being literally mindless. You are acting in a way, you are believing in something that is contrary to what is real. You are slow to understand, quick to forget. You are not using your brains, Christians. You're being fools. Now, what's going on here? Why would Paul use such sharp and even to our ears offensive language What thinking had taken place here? Well, you remember that in this context, the Judaizers were trying to resurrect the law as a way in order to be a merit, a means, a mechanism for man to make himself or to keep himself right with God. They had come to think that their works were part of the equation in the realm of our salvation. That we could earn our salvation by recommitting ourselves to the law of Moses, various forms and fashions, functions, the circumcision and other examples, that these would somehow merit God's grace by our obedience. But Paul has pointed this out again and again and again. The works of the law cannot be the grounds of our salvation at any point. And that's what Paul is going to say today. The works of the law cannot be the grounds of our salvation at any point, beginning, middle, or end. So Paul brings us in verse 2 to the very beginning. When did you receive the Spirit? When is the beginning of your spiritual life? You could ask it this way. When were you born again? What was taking place in your life? What were you doing when you were made spiritually alive? Did you receive the Spirit at the middle or the end of your salvation? Or at the very beginning of your new life? Did the Holy Spirit come upon you after you had started obeying the law? Paul is putting it this way. As a Christian, do you begin to obey the law? Do you begin to keep the Ten Commandments and keeping the ceremonies of the Old Testament? Do you start doing that and only after you have proved yourself, then the Holy Spirit is given to you? Do you need to work? Do you need to merit? Do you need to start doing actions of the Christian faith before the Spirit is given to you? When do you experience the work of the Holy Spirit? When do you see His powerful presence? When does He bring you from death to life? He continues. What event in your life was taking place when the Holy Spirit fell on you? Was the Holy Spirit someone who you need to woo or invite into your heart and life after you have obeyed for a time, after obedience? Or is the Holy Spirit someone who falls on you, being divinely poured upon you when you hear the gospel and believe with a heart of faith? So to put this in the proper mindset, Paul is bringing the Galatians back to the beginning of their new spiritual life. When you were regenerated, that just simply means when your new life is being brought from within you, new spiritual life being formed, what were you doing? Were you living a life of obedience? Were you obeying the laws and the ceremonies? Or were you hearing the gospel proclaimed? Where does faith come from? Does faith come after you obey or before? Were you working in order to receive grace? Was the presence of the Holy Spirit linked to your works, or is He linked to the word proclaimed, the word of grace? Is new life evident in your life first, before the Spirit is given? Or is the fact that there is new life proof that the Spirit has already been received? I hope it's becoming very clear here. In verse 2, Paul is reminding the Galatians that the Holy Spirit comes down upon you, is poured into your hearts when you believed the gospel with a heart of faith. Now, we have to keep in our minds this point. The Holy Spirit is the active agent in our salvation. Justification by the Spirit and unto the Spirit. We cannot really separate or parse out the work of the Holy Spirit and our own justification. The point Paul is making in verse 2 is simply this. Any new life that you as a Christian enjoy is a product of the Spirit's presence. You could connect this the same point to the work of the Spirit through prayer. If you as a Christian are praying to the Father for the Holy Spirit, can you pray for the Holy Spirit unless the Spirit is already moving you and enabling you to pray? Can you separate the work of the Spirit from our request for the Spirit to come? Indeed, as verse 2 says, you do not earn or merit the Spirit's presence. You cannot and you do not receive the Spirit because of what you do. Works of the law are not done first in order to achieve or to attain new life. So the reception of the Holy Spirit is by grace through faith when the word is proclaimed and you receive it and believe it. Inclusion into the church is by the Spirit. So the Spirit is not something that you earn, some reward that you work towards. He is freely bestowed, poured upon you by the gracious work of our God. But that's not the end of the Spirit's presence. No, as verse 2 says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing? It is by hearing, right? Faith. Faith is produced in our hearts, not because of what we do, and the reception of the Spirit doesn't earn this. Our reception of the Spirit is not something that we earn, but something that we graciously receive. But Paul continues in verse 3 by pushing this line forward. Your regeneration, new life, spiritual life, is something that the Spirit is producing, is working in you. But the next question is, what about continued life? If the beginning of your new life is something that the Holy Spirit gives you and works within you through the preaching of the Word, what about the rest of your life? What about from this point on? The Spirit's presence is graciously given at the beginning of our salvation. Perhaps, Paul is saying, perhaps we can then keep ourselves in this salvation after we are justified. Is it possible, Paul is reasoning here with them, is it possible that we begin by grace, but we remain by works? Are we brought into the covenant by grace, but we are required to keep ourselves in the covenant by what we do? Having been justified by the Spirit, do we keep ourselves justified by our works, by our merit? Again, Paul very firmly slams the door shut and gives us a resounding no. He shoots down this mentality, this thought, and says this logic is foolish. If you understand who you are as a sinner, then you have to come to grips with the fact that not only is it impossible for dead men to resurrect themselves, it is impossible for dead men to keep themselves alive. You cannot save yourself by your works, and you cannot keep yourself in that salvation by your works either. So in this verse 3, Paul is very clearly bringing to us the concept of the preservation or the perseverance of the saints. We are not now left alone and expected to carry ourselves to the completion, to the end of our salvation. The good news of the gospel is that our God deals not only with our guilt, but he deals with our corruption. Paul says this false teaching is wrong and it is foolish. You do not enter by grace and endure by works. The Holy Spirit doesn't simply start you on the path and let you go and says, good luck to you, I hope you make it. We are not like some raft that floats downstream as if holiness and perseverance is something that we can do by ourselves. We are not like lame men who are made to stand and then abandoned to stand on our own feet. Thank God that the work, the presence of the Spirit is something that not only begins, but continues and endures throughout our entire life. The path in which we walk is not one that we walk by works, but one by which we are enabled by the Spirit. And that's why we read earlier from Philippians 1 verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." Now, this is very interesting. Paul uses the same word in Philippians 1 verse 6 as he does in our passage in verse 3. In verse 3, he talks about being perfected or completed. The same word in Philippians 1 verse 6, by being completed. So the question before us is this: how is the work of salvation completed in us? Is the work of salvation completed in us by our merit, by our effort, by our obedience? Once we are regenerated, say justified, does God simply let you go on your own and say, I hope you make it. I hope you make it to the end of your journey. Good luck out there. Does he just abandon his children? Or, as Philippians 1 says, he who begins a good work in you completes his good work in you. It is our God who finishes the task. Perseverance, preservation of the saints, is something that the Holy Spirit does within us. Praise God that it is a gift of grace. In him we are perfected. Not only is faith something which Christ produces in us by the Spirit at the beginning of our spiritual journey, we are kept in the faith as faith remains within us. That's the concept of preservation and the sanctification by the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this very briefly, the work of the Holy Spirit for a moment. Paul says in verse 3, we are not perfected in the flesh by our works. We're not perfected because of what we do. Sanctification is a work of the Spirit within us. The fact remains, not only is it impossible for the works of the law to justify us, it is impossible for us to be sanctified by our works of the law. Do you catch the reasoning? It is impossible for our works of the law to secure our justification, and it is impossible for our works of the law to secure our sanctification. Added to this, there is no growth, there is no holiness, there's no putting to death the sins that remain and coming alive in the image of Christ that we can do by trying harder. Any confidence in the flesh is misplaced trust. Romans 15, verse 16, we are sanctified by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. So it is by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that new life begins and that new life grows, develops, flourishes, blooms, and blossoms. Now, it is absolutely true that we are called, that Scripture says we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, absolutely. But remember what Philippians 2 continues to say. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So any ability to work out your salvation is only possible because God is dwelling in you by his Holy Spirit. The desire, the ability, the will, and the way, these are spiritual gifts that the Spirit is working within us. So the good news that we have, that the point, the application of these two verses, is that we can have comfort, we can have encouragement, we can be bold in this knowledge, in this truth, that salvation as the beginning point, regeneration, and its preservation, perseverance through our lives is something that our God does. So when you see growth in your spiritual life, a Christian can never go, I did pretty good this past week. I did really good this past week. And you boast in yourself. No, as Paul would say, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Any spiritual growth, any holiness that you see in your life is attributed to the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why all glory, all honor, all praise is always directed back to our God. Your spiritual life being preserved in the faith is something that you can be assured of because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. This truth is so much better than the false gospel that was being proclaimed in Galatia. How terrible it would be. What a bad news gospel if this were true, that God saves you in the beginning of your spiritual journey and then you have to depend on yourself for the rest of your spiritual life. How terrible it would be if your preservation depended on your commitment or your ability. If you alone were responsible for the perfection that was necessary. Praise God for the good news of justification and sanctification being preserved by way of the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Our works, our obedience, is the fruit of the Spirit, not the root of the Spirit. That's what our passage is saying. We are brought into the covenant by grace, and we stay in the covenant by grace. New life by the Spirit, growth in that life by the Spirit. We believe in the preservation of the saints. As the canons of Dort put it this way, God is faithful. The sealing of the Holy Spirit cannot be invalidated or wiped out. That is good news. The sealing of the Holy Spirit cannot be invalidated or wiped out. As Paul will ask, what comes first, your works or the work of the Holy Spirit? As we close, the Holy Spirit is not some nice addition, but a necessary and vital part of every aspect of our salvation. Just as our justification is not a mix of works and grace, so our preservation is not a mix of what we do and God does. It's not 50% God and 50% us. Anything that we can do is only by the strength of the Spirit. These Judaizers were blind guides. Their teaching will lead only to the pit of destruction. Praise God that Jesus pours out his Spirit on the church for their complete salvation. Moses does not finish what Christ began. You do not complete what the Spirit starts. We do not begin by grace and endure by works. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God from beginning to end. So let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Praise God that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and his wonderful continued work within us. We thank you, O Lord, for the promise that the Spirit will not abandon us, will not forsake us, that we will not be neglected, that our salvation does not depend on our works or our merit at any point. We thank you for the promise of preservation, for the perseverance of the saints. We thank you, Lord, that you who began a good work will bring it to completion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is 394. 394, Eternal Spirit, God of Truth, our contrite hearts inspire. 394, let's stand and sing 394. As the deacons are coming forward, they're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And our special offering for this evening is Crown Point Christian School. After the offering is received, we'll stand and say the words of the Apostles' Creed together. The offering will now be received. Let's stand together. As a summary of our Christian faith, and when asked, "What do you believe?" we all confess together by saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Praise God from whom all As you depart this place of corporate worship, go forth with the Lord's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.